Army is looking to achieve 25% of our energy from renewable sources by 2025. And in order to get there, we recognize that in an era of diminished budgets, we need to partner with the private sector. The great thing is that when we partner with the private sector, it needs to be cost effective for the private sector to invest in it. So this also ensures that the projects that the Army is partnering on are cost effective and have a good return on investment that's good for the economy and good for the nation.
Is it that ROI that makes it so attractive to the private sector companies?
The nice thing for private sector companies is that the Army is a long-term landholder, a long-term energy user. Many of our bases have been there for years, if not over a century. So we are a guaranteed customer. The other feature that the Army has is there is usually some land on or right adjoining the military base that could be used for renewable energy generation. We call this the compatible use buffer, which ensures that we don't have housing right up against the fence line or other things that could interfere with mission. But it's a prime use for alternative energy, either on the installation or in a direct adjoining area.
Tell me about the Energy Initiatives Office that's going to be coordinating this. If I'm an energy provider and I want to come to you and offer to try to do something along this line, that's where I go, right?
Absolutely. This is a centralized approach to work with developers on large-scale renewables. And when we talk about large-scale renewables, we're talking about something that is approaching utility scale, over 10 megawatts of energy being produced. And the Energy Initiatives Office acts as a one-stop shop to streamline the existing acquisition processes and leverage the industry expertise. So it will be staffed with people who have experience in acquisition, people with experience in financing, to work with these large developers and also to work with the technology and the garrisons to ensure that these projects come to fruition in a timely manner.
Now, when you were here before, we talked about net zero when you were in studio with me not too long ago. And one of the places we talked about was Fort Bliss. They're the first folks to get in on this. They're the first installation to be working in this renewable energy. What forms of renewable energy are you going to be working on there? And what are all the possibilities? Or is there even a definitive inventory of possible renewable energy sources?
There are a lot of projects out there and a lot of different renewable energy sources. Of course, when you talk about renewable energy, a lot of people think about wind and solar first. But there's also geothermal and biomass and even some of the shale gas and other sources of energy that might be available and take maybe a little bit longer and more technical expertise to develop. But with the authorities given us by Congress, we are able to have up to a 30-year contract for renewable energy, which is very appealing to the private sector. So these net zero installations are striving to generate the amount of energy that they need on a daily basis or a yearly basis, actually. And this starts with first reducing the amount of energy they need and also looking at renewable sources to give us the kind of energy security we need on our installations.
Long term, obviously, the benefits are pretty self-evident. What's the short-term timeline here as far as getting some of these things up and running? When do you expect some of these methods to be actually generating energy that's being used on Army installations?
Well, because we have about 20 projects in the pipeline that we're looking at that are in some stage of development, we expect to have some of these up and operating by 2014. And this is both a cost-effective hedge against rising utility costs. It helps preserve the mission in that it gives us some form of insulation against the vulnerability of electricity grids, but it is also a job-generating source for the private sector. And we all think green jobs are a great thing for the future.
As you look at the various types of possibilities of sources to drive these power plants, you mentioned a couple of them, biomass and solar and wind and so on. Are you going to get to a point eventually, do you think, where you choose two or three or five of them, or maybe even just one of them? Or will the different installations maybe find that different sources suit them better than another?
We've done an evaluation of the United States, and there are some regions that are prime opportunities for solar. There's other regions that are prime opportunities for wind. We have several installations that have a lot of biomass that are great, and we've done some test wells for geothermal. So we are finding that there's no one size fits all, and many of our installations might find a combination of renewable sources will meet their requirements. And that's certainly what Fort Bliss came forward with, is a request for information on a variety of renewable energy sources that will give them the diversity that is certainly important to achieving energy security.